We're talking with Joel Wilson from Nancy, Kentucky, about plasticulture strawberries. And Joel, tell me a little bit about your farm and your experience growing produce and with plasticulture there.
Well, our farm is in the western part of Pulaski County, about 16 miles west of Somerset. We've actually been in the produce business since 2000, started with couple acres of bell peppers and started the next year with a little bit of variety of hot peppers and continued to expand every year. And in 2008, or actually 2007, we tried a half acre of strawberries on bare ground, the old matted row system, and found out real quick we had a Bermuda grass and some other weed problems, and we just could not keep them clean. So that crop was a failure. In the fall of 2007, we put in a half acre of plasticulture strawberries, and we've just been expanding a little bit on them every year, and we're up to 10 acres, and still don't know if we know what we're doing, but we're learning a lot about it.
Now, you talked about going to plasticulture because of weed problems to begin with. What are some of the other benefits to growing on plastic when it comes to strawberries besides weed control?
Well, you get a lot of, with the raised beds, and we've learned over the years that we've actually went from using 4-foot plastic to 5-foot plastic to get even bigger, taller beds, that you get a good heating up of the soil in the springtime. You get an earlier production. The old berries that people grew here years ago, they was picking, you know, in June. We've had years that we've actually started picking around the 25th, 26th of April. And normally, we're about done by the end of May. The varieties that we use on the plasticulture is they come and go pretty quick. They're not the Everburn, and we've had real good luck with getting the earlier fruit. You got a cleaner fruit. You don't have to worry about so much wildlife being in between your rows. If you've got grass or weeds in there in a matted row, you know, you get rabbits or lots of times even moles and voles. With the plasticulture, you can keep your fields clean, easier to find the berries. There's that's just a few of the advantages. Also, we fertigate ours, and you can keep the fertilizer where you need it. You don't have to broadcast it over the top. If you need irrigation, you're not wetting the plant or wetting the fruit. You're just wetting the root. To me, it's just a lot better system, even though it's a lot more expensive. The return outweighs the cost.
Yeah, you mentioned the expenses there. Certainly equipment expenses for and the plasticulture system and irrigation and all that. Then there's the actual expense of the strawberry plants, correct?
Yes. Excuse me. We actually use plug plants that we buy. We get a lot of our plants from Virginia, and there's a guy in Grayson, Kentucky, that's growing plants. There are probably others. We use a plug-type plant that's grown in trays. What they do with these is they usually get the tips out of Nova Scotia in July, and they plug the tips and grow the plants. We usually receive our plants the last week of April, last week of August, first September, and try to plant somewhere around Labor Day or a little later. But those plants are a lot more expensive than the bare root plants. One of the reasons that we use the plug plants is we do not have an extraordinary large amount of water to overhead irrigate. If you use a bare root or what they call a fresh dug plant, you've got to overhead irrigate them in the heat like that, or the plant will cook, and we just do not have the water to do that. And it's a lot easier for the plug plant to survive in the first few days than it is a bare root or a fresh dug.
So after you get the plants in the ground those first few days, how do you what in terms of care goes on for the rest of fall and winter then?
Mainly in the fall, once we get them planted and they're established good, we normally do not fertilize. We put some fertilizer down pre-plant. We'll go in sometime in early October. If we've had a good warm September and October, you're going to have some runners. We cut the runners off, try to clean any weeds that's in the hole out, and usually sometime the last week of October, the first of November, we will cover the fields with canvas. We do it a little earlier than recommended, but the only reason is my workers usually leave to go back home around the first or second week of November, and but we just cover them with canvas, put rock bags on them to hold it down. The old way of doing it was using straw on the matted rows, but the straw does not work on the plastic. So really going into winter, that's about all we do. It's just make sure we've got them cleaned up, covered up. And we also, you know, scout for mice or voles or anything like that. And if there's a potential for problems, we put some rat bait in the field in PVC pipes where the birds or nothing can get it, or dogs or anything like that that may get out of the canvas. But just kind of protect it for the winter, and then hopefully that the winter's not too bad on them. And when you pull the canvas off in the spring, you're ready to clean them up, and then that's when you actually start doing some work to them.
So we're talking here in the in early 2018, kind of winter's in the middle of the winter toward the end. In terms of winter kill and those kinds of things, any concerns in different regions in Kentucky, or how does that affect the strawberries?
I've never really had a problem in as far as winter kill with using the canvas, which we use. Most of our canvas that we use is what they call a 1.5 mil or a 2 mil. It's pretty thick. I've actually got a feel right now that we had some damage from wind that kind of ripped the canvas, and some of the plants are exposed. And the older leaves on the outside is, you know, they show kill, but you look down at the crown and they're fine. If you can keep them covered, they're pretty hardy. They can take it pretty good in the winter. We have a lot more concern in the springtime, actually, with the flowers than we do in the wintertime with the fruit, or, I mean, the plant itself.
What can you expect in terms of springtime if you're a brand new grower putting some strawberries in on plastic culture for first time? You get them through the winter, they're covered well, things are looking good, and then talk a little bit about when, as you said, when the work starts and what you have to navigate in between taking the canvas off and getting them to harvest.
Well, what our kind of our game plan is my workers arrive around the 1st of March, and one of the first things that we do as far as the strawberries is we'll uncover them and start cleaning all the dead material as far as leaves, or if there's any weeds or anything that's come back in the hose. We want to get all the dead material off of the plastic, and really you'll think you have a real big plant, and then it looks like you know, you've destroyed 90% of it, but what was left over through the winter is not going to do you any good. So we get all that material off of the plastic. There's really twofold reason for doing that. Number one, you don't need it in the plant. You know, it's not going to revive that part. Number two, you want to get it off the plastic on account it could harbor diseases or even small mites or insects that could damage your plant later. Plus, if it lays on there long enough, it could cause problems for the ripe fruit later on in the year. Once we get the plants clean like that, we will start applying some fungicide just to make sure the plants are healthy. you want to double check, make sure you do not have no spider mites. Even though they're microscopic, they can really cause a lot of damage. If you scout and you find that you need to spray, there's some miticides. Dr. Rick Besson's got a real good program for taking care of that. We have had problems with them in the past, but if you catch them in the spring, you can spray, but you really want to scout. It's no need to spray it if there's not, you know, mites present. And then basically we start fertilizing and irrigating as soon as the plants are, you know, looking like that they're ready to take off or grow. And stay on a pretty good schedule as far as the insect control, because we try to quit insect control once we start getting fruit to form. We don't, if you can get it early, you get rid of a lot of the sap beetle problems that comes late. Also, the spittle bugs and you know, do a lot of scouting and make sure they're getting the nutrients that they need, the water. They don't need an excessive amount of water, but you cannot let them, you know, get too dry. And we work what I call working the canvas. If the weather is warm, we may leave the canvas off. If they're predicting it to get under freezing at night, especially with blooms, we cover them back up. It's a lot of work, but you want to make sure that that flower does not get frostbit, because about, I think the study says about 5 minutes at 28 degrees, she's dead. So we don't want to lose them flowers.
And we were talking earlier, and I know our UK budget estimates for plasticulture strawberries have expenses anywhere from $6,500 to $8,500 and more, even before you get in there to pick them per acre. So you have a lot of money tied up in this crop, and so that makes marketing it and making sure that you have it sold well very important. Tell me a little bit about how you're selling your strawberries there from your farm.
Well, we do offer a UPIC, which we're so far out in the country, we don't get a whole lot of UPIC on county population proximity. But our UPIC, I don't care to tell you the prices, we get $2 a pound. If people come and pick their own, that runs somewhere around $10 a gallon if they round the bucket up good and full. Retail, we've got a couple roadside stands that we sell them. We get 13 a gallon. Some places are higher, some's a little cheaper, but we feel like that's a pretty fair price. We do not do a whole lot of wholesaling if we don't have to. I have run some through some of the produce auctions and get a pretty good price out of them. But basically, I'd say 65 to 70% of our crop is sold at a roadside stand. We have one in Somerset, and then we have one close to the farm out on the main road.
So you have a pretty good idea, even before you plant those plants in the fall, around what kind of demand you have for them and the price that you'll be able to get for them, correct?
Yes, yeah. We, which I base a lot of it off of the year that we've had. One thing I found, if you really want to get out and hustle and, you know, seek new markets, there is a good demand for our berries throughout not just Kentucky, but Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, because we're a little bit ahead of them. And especially early in the season, it's there's wholesalers out there looking to buy them. I could probably sell more if I wanted to, you know, take the risk of putting out more, but it's such an expensive crop. And I can honestly say that there's no normal year. Some years you do real good. Some years you just thank the good Lord that you broke even. But it's I usually know what I can get rid of, and I try to plan about 110% of what I think I can sell. And that way, if we don't have a great year, I'm still keeping my customer happy. And if I have a real good year, I'm just going to have to, you know, give some to the food banks or try to find other markets for them.
I know you've been doing plasticulture for a long time now with commercial vegetables and strawberries. But if you could give a piece of advice to someone maybe who's moving from field crop production into growing on plastic, what's kind of one thing that you would point out or tell people that are new to plasticulture before they start putting down any rows at all?
Well, the main thing is, what is your water source? Do you have plenty of water to grow what you need? You cannot rely on Mother Nature to water these crops. You've got to water them. Number two, I would advise people to visit with a farmer that's doing plasticulture. It's been around long enough, it's scattered throughout the state. And just ask questions about, you know, the pros and cons of it. My personal theory is, if I cannot grow it on plastic, I'm not going to grow it. Don't matter what the crop is. I've come to find out that anything that grows on open ground will grow in plastic. It may need a little different culture to it, but we've grown everything from potatoes to sweet corn to all the vegetables and strawberries, and anything can grow on plastic. And it's the cost really is irrelevant once you get your equipment paid for. I know the equipment can be a little pricey, but the return for what you get out of it is so much better than open dirt. It's just, you know, to me, you save enough in plastic and drip tape to pay for the labor of hoeing or spraying and all that.
Well, thanks again, Joel. We've been talking with Joel Wilson from Nancy, Kentucky about plasticulture strawberries, and hope those berries turn out super well for you here this coming season.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and hopefully somebody got a little bit of good news out of this.